Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears, along with you here on this very chilly getaway Friday morning, Friday, September 24th, 2021, 9:24:21, 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. And here we are, end of the week, and what a week it has been. We started off in summer, and it was warm, and it was humid, kind of like it's been all summer. And then in the middle of the week, here came the cold temperatures, just as autumn came to us. And really, autumn came in, what is it now? It came in like a lion. It certainly did not come in like a lamb. Autumn came in like a lion. And I know a lot of people turned on their heat, and I know a lot of people really were shocked that the temperatures dropped so fast. And I'll tell you something fascinating. As I was out mingling around with people this week, so many people said that they were not aware that the temperatures were going to drop like that on Wednesday and Thursday. But that's the way it goes, as they say. We have got a great hour of programming here this morning to kick off this Getaway Friday morning. Do want to let you know that coming up this morning at 8:35, we're going to be joined by legendary mentalist from the Johnny Carson Show, the David Letterman Show. He's been everywhere. The amazing Kreskin. Now, the reason Kreskin's going to be on, as many of you know, we have been keeping the Geraldo Journal here now for about a week and a half. Now, very quickly, the Geraldo Journal is our quest to have Geraldo Rivera on this show. We've had Phil Donahue. We've had Larry King. We've had Jerry Springer. We've had Sally Jesse Raphael, Dick Cavett, Willard Scott, Sam Donaldson, Hugh Downs. A lot of great broadcasters on this show. We want to have Geraldo on this show. We've never had him. He's in Cleveland. He does a radio show up there. And we just hope to have Geraldo on. So the amazing Kreskin this morning at 8:35, because we haven't heard from Geraldo since we started this journal about 10 days ago. The amazing Kreskin is going to predict if Geraldo will be on my show and if he will invite me to be on his show. So that's coming up the bottom of the hour. But we're going to kick off the hour with a guy I like a whole lot. He's been very good to me throughout my career, and he is the author of a book that came out this year that has gotten raves, The Division of Light and Power. By the way, on the cover of this book, and I did not set it up this way, a cross between The Godfather and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and who's that quote from? Geraldo Rivera. How about that? Could it be more serendipitous? He just recently finished third in a mayoral primary in his city of Cleveland, Ohio, which means he will not continue on in that particular election, but he has served Ohio for a whole, just a very long time. And it's our pleasure, as it always is, to welcome to these microphones former representative here in the state of Ohio, Dennis Kucinich. Representative Kucinich, so good to talk with you.
Good morning, Scott. Great to join you on this beautiful autumn morning in Ohio and in northern Ohio. Great to be with you.
Representative Kucinich, the mayoral primary there in Cleveland, what happened in your opinion?
I didn't have enough votes.
Yeah. What caused that, I guess, should we say, in your opinion?
There were a lot of factors in the election that are still being sorted out that relates to dark money. And, you know, once all the campaign finance reports are filed, I think we'll have an idea of the kind of money that came in late. And since Citizens United, and which permits interest to enter an election late, it really changes the dynamic of an election and also necessarily changes the analysis of an election, because if a substantial amount of money is put in late in any race, I don't care what the race is, it can have an impact.
When you were announcing that you were going to run for that position, you were actually on that morning, and we were talking about this great book, The Division of Light and Power, and you felt confident. When did you start to realize things were not going as well as you had thought?
On election night.
Oh, well, yeah. Is that tough? Is it always tough?
Listen, I take victory and defeat with equanimity. I've been in both situations, and they're really opposite sides of the same coin. If you're committed to public service, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And I don't worry about it. I move on. Life's grand. And, I love this community. I've served it in many capacities. People who have been good to me, I don't have any complaints about that.
A lot of people said this has brought an end to Dennis Kucinich running for office, his political career. Is that the case?
Well, if I was dead, I wouldn't be speaking to you, would I?
Would you ever run for office again, or do you know at this point?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to take some time to look at the fall leaves and think about all that.
So not a no at this point. When the media reported that, you had to see those reports. Are you shocked the media was reporting it in that way, that you would never run again?
Scott, do you think I care what anybody writes about me?
No, but I think after a while, maybe you'd look at that and you'd go, well, gee whiz, I didn't say that.
Scott, I'm just telling you that, when you make a decision to serve in public life, you cannot be particularly concerned about the media. What anyone writes about me or says about me is none of my business.
What is the biggest misconception about Dennis Kucinich that you think people have who only know you that way, who have not met you personally?
I don't really care. I mean, you have to understand this about me, that I'm people can vote me up or down. It's all right.
Well, let's talk about some issues here in Ohio. I think that's always important. Right now, I was looking this morning, we're still under 50% with the COVID vaccinations. Where do you think this goes at this point?
People are going to have to, make their own decision. I mean, if it was up to me, I mean, I'd recommend that people be vaccinated. But, not everyone, today, it isn't one size fits all. There's people who prefer not to be for various reasons, or some people can't be for various reasons. Certainly going beyond vaccination, there are some conditions where, or situations where you're in a crowd, indoors, it might be better to wear a mask with this virus being around. Wash your hands. There's a lot of common sense things that people can do to protect their health. Because the real underlying question is, what can we do to protect our health? What can we do to strengthen our immune system? What can we do to help protect those whom we love? We're in a different environment here. This pandemic has gone from pandemic to endemic. And it means that this is going to be, it's quite possible this could be part of our lives for a long, long time. And so the question is, what might we do to be able to protect, the health of our loved ones, the health of ourselves, and to continue? But, it's a whole new set of circumstances. And it's, most people are, want to do whatever they can to be healthy. But they're also, I don't know that government's in a position where it can tell people, exactly what they must do to protect their health when it comes to being vaccinated.
Well, that becomes the big question in Ohio right now. We follow these press conferences that Governor DeWine is having again. He had in the beginning. And it seems as if a lot of this is wrapped up in government, that the Ohio legislature now has the power to stop any order, health order, that the governor would put on. Is this really not a governmental issue? Is this a personal issue?
Well, it's government. It's personal. You know, you can recommend to people what they should do and explain to people why. I think that's important. But to tell people what they have to do and to mandate that, it's a little bit tricky. And because, you know, there are a lot of people who believe that they have the right to make decisions over what goes into their body. And if you go against that, and government feels that they can just tell people, here's what you must do, you know, it's not, that doesn't set well with some people. And, you know, and I can understand why. And that's why the public health argument and the education is important. You educate people as to what you can do to minimize the possibility that you could get the virus. And, you know, we want to make sure that people are going to protect their health, protect the health of their loved ones, and protect others, because, you know, innocent people can also be affected. You know, I will tell you, I'm not vaccinated, Scott. I've been I get tested regularly. I have immune system issues that I have to deal with myself. And so, you know, you can't, that's why I'm saying, I know from personal experience, it's not a case of one size fits all. Because there are some people who have vulnerabilities to certain types of medicines, as we know, and certain types of, you know, vaccines. And I would, and that's why, you know, I know from personal experience, it's kind of tough to tell people, well, this is what you must do, because you don't know everyone's individual medical experience. On the other hand, you sure want to encourage people to get vaccinated. You want to explain to them the consequences of what happens if you get this disease. You want to let people know what they can do to minimize the possibility of being able contracting COVID or its variant. And, you know, and again, it starts with when you're indoors, you know, wearing a mask, washing your hands on a regular basis, and just, you know, being careful of certain surfaces that are being touched by people regularly. And I think, you know, everyone out there is aware of it. There isn't anyone out there who's inviting, you know, who really wants to get it. But at the same time, there's, you know, one cannot ignore the underlying concerns that people have about vaccines that are, or about taking a vaccine that are just as numerous sometimes as people are. You just can't ignore that.
What do you think is the number one cause here in Ohio that has led to our vaccination rate being under 50% to this point? Is it skepticism? Is it government? Is it issues with people's health? What do you think is driving that number so low?
I think you check all those boxes and more. I think that if you had opened up the discussion to your listeners and went to the broadest possible discussion, you would find out that there's the reasons that you cited and more. It's, you know, it certainly isn't that people aren't concerned about their health, their loved ones' health, and others. It's just that, you know, there are a lot of reasons why people may not. But again, I think government's public health role is important here, where you give people the information that they need to make the best decision. And when you do that, you can, you know, give recommendations and encouragement. When government crosses a line to telling people this is what they have to do, not just on vaccines, but anything. You know, in America, that might not be an easy sell.
Well, this brings up an interesting point, because we are going to have a gubernatorial election here in the state next year, and it's a very complicated one, maybe more complicated than we have had in many, many years. You have a sitting governor, Mike DeWine, a Republican, who is being primaried. An Ohio governor, sitting Ohio governor, has not been primaried for more than 100 years. Renacci is primarying him. Mainly, there's some other people in there, but Renacci's in there. Renacci seems to be leading the polls at this particular point, and polls go up and down, but he's got one of President Trump's campaign managers working in his campaign at this particular point. And then on the Democratic side, you've got Nan Whaley, who seems to be the front runner, but her biggest experience at this point, she's in her 40s. She's mayor of Dayton. People feel she's not necessarily a very strong candidate. What do you make of this gubernatorial election that's coming up? Certainly a lot of firsts.
Well, you know, it's to me, it's just too early to handicap that race. And I think, you know, there are going to be the factors that will determine that race haven't emerged and won't emerge until late in the primary season, because you have it's public health, it's education, it's the economy. You know, Ohio's in a difficult situation and has been for a while. You know, I know all these individuals who you named, and I have a good relationship with all of them. You know, Jim Renacci and I worked very closely together in Congress. He's a friend. You know, as far as what's going to happen inside the Republican Party primary, I don't have any clue.
Well, let me ask you this, Representative Kucinich, and I always appreciate the time. A lot of people, because I believe the filing deadline is December, a lot of people would feel that the Democrats have a fairly good chance this time because of this primary that's going on the Republican side, but that a Democrat who believes everything you stated earlier this morning understands that people don't want to be mandated to get the vaccine, and who has name recognition in Ohio, which certainly you have, and who has run for governor before, which you have, might really have a shot at this. The filing deadline's December. Would this be something you would consider this time around?
Scott, I started this discussion with taking everything in a lighthearted way about my own career, the moment, life's good, and I am, you know, absolutely not going to get into any discussions that speculate as to whether I would ever run for anything, period. You know, I just can't do that. It's like, you know, so the answer to your question is pass.
But just you wouldn't rule anything out at this point.
I wouldn't rule anything in.
I can understand. Final question here, and I appreciate it's always a pleasure to talk with you, Representative Kucinich. When people look back at your half century in Ohio politics, how do you hope the citizens, not the media, not your fellow politicians, but how do you hope history records your time? And it's still going on, by the way.
Well, thanks for saying that.
It is. It's still going on. It's not over yet.
You. Thanks for saying that, Scott. It's great talking to you.
Yeah. Well, what is it? How do you hope people rule it? Remember Dennis Kucinich.
Look, I am not into discussions of myself in any way, shape, or form that relate to the past tense. So let's, I'm happy to have had the chance to serve this state in the United States Congress as a member of the United States Congress from Ohio, and serve the city of Cleveland in many capacities. I was a state senator. I was happy to do that. And you know what? I'm happy when I'm in. I'm happy when I'm out. I'm just happy.
The book is The Division of Light and Power, and really, this is a great, great book. Everybody says that. We say that. I have read the book cover to cover. It is a great, great book, and obviously Geraldo said that. It's on the cover of the book. Representative Kucinich, you've always been a pal to me, as I say, and you're always a straight shooter, and I really do appreciate that, and I hope we talk again in the future should anything arise or not arise, because your analysis is always important to me.
Well, Scott, thanks a lot, and good luck with your show. And, you know, you've certainly been doing such a great job in getting so many well-known Americans on the show, and I wouldn't be surprised. I don't want to get ahead of Kreskin, but I wouldn't be surprised if Geraldo Rivera himself was on your show one day.
Thank you, Representative Kucinich. Stay well.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go, Representative Dennis Kucinich. How about that? You know, I have had this book sitting here in the office, I think, since April. And it is a good book, The Division of Light and Power, Dennis J. Kucinich. But Geraldo Rivera is the man who wrote the it's not a... it's not a review. I guess it is a review, maybe, on the front of the book. It says right here, I've never noticed that. A cross between The Godfather and Mr. Smith goes to Washington. How about that? But now we turn our attention this morning to our ongoing efforts here. And again, we thank Representative Dennis Kucinich for being on to kick off the program this morning. And again, his book, The Division of Light and Power, a must-read for anybody here in Ohio. Now, speaking of Ohio, as many of you know, we have been on a quest now for more than, really 2 weeks at this point, with our Geraldo Journal to get Geraldo Rivera, who now does a show. He lives part-time in Cleveland. He does a radio show up in Cleveland, WTAM Radio, every morning from 9 until 10 a.m. He's opposite us. But in a real... see, here's the thing. Jerry Springer has been on this show. Larry King's been on this show. Phil Donahue's been on this show. Willard Scott, Sam Donaldson, Hugh Downs, a lot of really great broadcasters. Dick Cavett's been on this show. And we want Geraldo Rivera on. We've never had Geraldo on. And I'm getting a little discouraged here because we are 9 or 10 days into this. I know people have been calling his producer. I know people have been calling the station, WTAM, up there. I know that things have been done on Twitter, but Geraldo Rivera has yet to respond in any way. And when I make... Well, let me just get into this very quick before we get to our very special guest today. You know, I look back at the journal here. 9/16, did not hear from Geraldo. 9/17, didn't hear from Geraldo. 9/22, did not hear from Geraldo, but we did get the address of the station, the physical address. You know, I'm a little downhearted here as we are here on this Getaway Friday, September 24th, because I don't know if Geraldo's going to appear on this show. And I don't know if Geraldo's going to invite me on his show, but I think that's radio diplomacy. So there's only one man on the face of God's green earth that I can turn to get the correct answer of this. It is a man who has predicted presidential elections correctly for more years than a lot of people have been alive. He finds his check when he goes out and does a show. He has been right on so many issues, historical events as well as news events. He is a dear, dear friend of mine. He has been on this show many times for more than 20 years now, so I am turning to him maybe for the most important prediction when it comes to this show in the history of predictions. He is the legendary, one-of-a-kind, nobody like him. Johnny Carson knew it, David Letterman knew it, and a whole lot of other people who've had him on knew it. He is the amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, how are you?
Scott? Scott?
Yes.
Scott, this is Kreskin. I thought I was supposed to go on at 8:30. We've made 22 calls to you and getting a busy signal.
Oh,
this
you're on.
What happened?
You're on. Dennis Kucinich ran a little over.
Oh, because we called and called, and my people are going through the files trying to find another number. I apologize because I was supposed to go on at 8:30. I'm sorry, I misunderstood the information. I had here 8:30 as the time, Scott. I apologize.
Well, no, I'm glad to have you now, Kreskin.
I was about to leave the office and shut down.
Well, I'm
because I've never had it happen when I've been scheduled not to be able to get through, and we got busy signals endlessly as I called you. You're already on another number. I'm sorry. It's too bad that happened. Thank God I got you in now. We were just leaving. I was just closing the office down because I thought, well, we got the wrong day or something. But it is 8:30, and I'm glad to talk to you on the air because, by the way, Scott, and I did, you're on with another interview, I guess you said, but you mentioned Geraldo. What is this process that you're interested in doing? This intrigues me immensely, Scott. What's going on?
Well, here's what happened, Kreskin, and I knew I could turn to you with this one. What happened was, as I was saying, I've had a lot of great broadcasters on. Larry King, Phil Donahue, Jerry Springer, Sally Jesse, Willard Scott, Sam Donaldson, Hugh Downs, Marvin Kalb. I've had a lot on. And then I found out that Geraldo Rivera now lives part-time here in the Buckeye State in Ohio. And he does...
And he does
a radio show on WTAM radio up in Cleveland, which is just 2 hours from here, and I've never had Geraldo on the show. So I thought, well, I want to have Geraldo on. Why wouldn't you? He's interesting. He's entertaining. And he's still on Fox News, and why wouldn't we want to have him on? Well, I wanted to involve the listeners, so we started to keep a log of, really it's a journal, we started to keep a journal of this process of getting Geraldo on. And I know people have called the station. I know people have emailed the station. We've given that out. They have written letters to the physical address of the station, and we have heard nothing from Geraldo. And my goal here is radio diplomacy, and I know you'll understand this, in tough times, because he's on right against me. I'm on from 9 to 10. He's on from 9 to 10 in the morning.
Oh, you're on. So wait a minute. Let me have this clear. Scott, you're on opposite each other at the same time?
I'm on for 2 hours. He's on for one, but they do overlap. So my point is that... I have said I want Geraldo on my show. He has an open invitation to drive here 2 hours, and then I will go on his show. So we'll have real radio diplomacy in these tough times. So that's basically how it all evolved. But but you know, 2 weeks into this, we have heard nothing from Geraldo. And I know he's aware of this because of the calls and the emails and the letters that have come into him.
Yeah. Well, let me try contacting him. It's been a while since he interviewed me, but let's see. But you know, the factor, Scott, and I'm sure the listeners would realize is the fact is that you are on opposite each other. But that's an interesting scenario. So, what would you be doing? You'd be appearing he'd be appearing on your show, but he'd have his own show at the same time on. Is that what you're saying?
We could do it that way. We could do a simulcast. We could do just a day where he would come on here and I would go on there. I know he has other people on that show with him. But, you know, he's in the Cleveland market. We're in the Central Ohio market.
Sure.
So it's not...
Scott, is his show on... You say it's on Fox? Is that what's on right now?
I believe it is a Fox affiliate up there.
Yeah, they may not allow, but let me look into it. It's an interesting idea that you want to put. What do you want to put together? Because people like, you know, I'm having written 22 books, just my 22 so far. I understand what you're saying. You're putting together a booklet that would cover various incidents, his career. Is that what you're saying?
I would like to talk to Geraldo about his career, because we've talked to these other people about their careers.
Sure.
And I would also, now that he's a resident of Ohio, I would be interested to know what he thinks of things going on here in Ohio.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. How long has he been in Ohio now?
It's been a few years, I guess. I don't know how long the radio show's been on, but he's had a residence. He was going to run for Senate here. Now, he said he's not going to do... Yeah, he's backed off of that, but there was talk of that earlier this year.
Yeah, you know, let me see. I can't really share, but let me see in the next this week what I can do, if I can perhaps... touch base with him. But how are you? You you sound as active as ever, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, my God, I hope he's not on a repeat, because I was getting, you know, I was getting a busy single sky. You sound good, you feel good. You're as active as ever.
I feel good. I feel happy. But I think in this particular case, because here's the thing about this whole Geraldo thing, you know, I don't think that anybody is putting the brakes on him from doing other appearances, because people have talked to his producer up there, because we have the email, and the producer doesn't seem to have a problem with it. He said...
You've spoken to the producer about the project.
People have talked to the producer. I have not talked to him personally, but I've seen the emails that he doesn't seem to have an issue with it.
Yeah. That's very interesting. All right, let's then maybe, I'm glad you mentioned the producer, because maybe I can touch base somehow with the producer.
Well, I tell you what, Friskin, we've given this information. I'm going to give it for the audience, but maybe also for you here this morning, because we've done this before.
I'll write it down.
Yeah. The email for the producer there at WTAM is Rob, R-O-B, at
W-T-A-M.
R-O-B. At WTAM.com.
W what?
WTAM.com.
T-A-M.
.com. And interestingly enough, the phone number up there, which is public, it's area code 216.
216.
578.
578.
1100.
1100.
And you know, Kreskin, Geraldo will be on, I guess it's 8:47 here, he'll be on in about 13 minutes up there. You know, if you call then, you might be able to talk to him directly.
Well, I won't call him now. No, I won't at this time. That's a good thing to know that he's on every day at this time.
9 to 10, I believe, yes.
He's on 9 to 10 during the weekdays.
Yeah, weekends.
Yeah. I won't call now, no, but I don't think I should. No, let me get my thoughts together at 9 to 10. But I haven't spoken to him for a long time, so it might be interesting.
I think you would probably get the producer. I don't think you would go right to Geraldo.
And if he was doing an interview, and if he's professionally, he may not want to be interrupted on the air, obviously.
Right.
I don't think... Yeah.
Well, Kreskin, the reason I wanted to have you on this morning, because your predictions have been so much fun over the years. We do the yearly predictions. We've done the presidential predictions. Last year, you so very kindly sent us the hermetically sealed envelope that we did not open until the correct time for the presidential election.
No, I understand.
Yeah. So I'm going to you on this one. What is your prediction here? Do you think Geraldo will appear on this show?
Well, I have to give it some thought. It's not something I would spontaneously, you know, suddenly predict. Although the business of the spontaneous, predictions, with the 9/11 celebration, my God, practically everybody who's ever interviewed me spoke to me about it, because, of course, as you well know, one of the points in my career, which I have no explanation for. I can't explain how it happened and what have you. But on the 1st of September, how many years ago? 20 years ago was when it happened, 9/11, right? About 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
Yeah, but on January 1st of that year, I was on Fox. I was on the internet because I do a lot of interviews, as you know, around New Year's, and I was on a national news show, and I'm just being interviewed about some of the things I thought were going to take place in this particular new century, and suddenly, out of nowhere, I stumbled and I said something that was asinine, and a number of people quoted in that. And I said, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I have a feeling that here in this city in September of this year, you're going to have a disaster involving two airlines. And suddenly I stopped talking, and the interviewer said, can you explain what you just said, Kreskin? And I changed the subject and what have you. But of course, as it happened, that was when it took place on 9/11, and hours after I get called by the intelligence people, what made you say such a thing? And to be honest with you, Scott, I have no idea on the face of the earth. In fact, one of the moving moments that I talked about with all the interviews I've done since this 9/11 thing a few weeks ago is I met with someone and walked through the pathway where the attack first took place. And the person I spoke, I walked with, I'm known for years, tremendous fan of, and it was Regis Philbin. And in the entire time that Regis and I walked one way in and then slowly one way out, I think the entire conversation between the two of us was, maybe I said hi Regis and Regis may have said hi Kreskin. We never spoke. We were so deeply moved when we were thinking of the tragedy that took place that, that this earth reminded us, and that was 20 some years ago. So it was quite an experience to talk about that, and yet to this day I don't know what in the world made such an expression. I did do something, Scott, which may interest you, and that is, I've never talked about this, but in the town I grew up, I don't live in the town of Caldwell anymore, as of months ago, but for 40 years, for many, many years, and my entire life, and I'm 86 years old, my entire life I lived in the town of Caldwell, and my grandmother and grandfather were from Italy, and she was a chef for royalty. And you can imagine the meals we had and so forth. But the house that they lived in was built by my grandfather. He did not get some free money and all the other gambling, rackets that are coming through with the politicians promising free this, promising free that. He built the house himself. It's still there in Caldwell. But the reason I mention this is that if I walk to the house from where I lived and stayed overnight there, as I did hundreds of times, I would go past the firehouse on Roseland Avenue in Caldwell, which on the internet, if you want to look it up, has an incredible pictorial display of it, because this fire department was one, you may have it in your own area, a volunteer fire department, where they, all my life, if the fire alarm went off, the people who worked at that fire department left their jobs, and my uncle Frank Spencer had one of the best car repair places in Caldwell. I don't know, about a mile or so from the building, the fire department, and he would race out of his place and race there and get on the fire engine and go to a fire, and that's what they've done to this very day. He became a fire chief of the department for many years, never received a penny, and I think that, Scott, when we look at the different supports in our society, the support of law enforcement people, which we can't do without, the support of medical people, and the support of the fire department, it's a salute that I'm very, very proud of, because that fire department stands, and he's no longer alive, my Uncle Frank, but he was a great supporter of it. So it's something, and I don't know if you have a volunteer fire department in your area of the country, Scott, you know?
Yeah, we do, and they're very important, and those people are soul of the earth people.
Oh, they are. Scott, and when you think about it, I mean, he could be at work repairing, and he repaired the police cars, the mayor's cars, and what have you, so you obviously he was the best in the area. But as soon as that alarm went off, he bolted up. A couple of his men had to stay at the shop where the repairs were going on, and he would head right to the fire department. And that's why, if you go on the, you see the salute I've made to it, and the incredible photographs which a top photographer made. These people gave of their time and dedication, and I would hope that spirit enters young people's hearts and thoughts today, because without law enforcement and without the support of people like this, we don't have a nation, and that's the crazy thing. I guess the question I'm being asked more than anything else since our recent celebration of 9/11 and what have you the question I'm being asked, and you know I'm not a negative person, I don't speak negatively. They say, Kreskin, and this is reporters behind the scenes, they won't ask me on camera or on the air because they don't know if I want to even discuss it. They say, when do you think we will be hit by the second 9/11? And you know, the interesting thing about this is I can't be critical of the thing, because even a young man who goes to school today has a sense enough to know that if you break out of a country that we have been in great conflict with and what have you, and leave behind all our military weapons, and this country considers us an enemy, not to think that sooner or later they will plan an attack is naive and stupid. But because most of the people behind the president I'm not going to knock the president, he's senile, he doesn't have any sense, he doesn't know what he's doing, and they all know this. The people behind him are the ones that are steering all of these situations. And I have to say, as I finally had in a press conference, the fact that he has torn down a wall and enabled thousands of people to come into the country, which is now, as we know, we don't know the cities that a lot of them are coming into, is certainly, he has achieved his aim, and that is to help destroy the spirit of the United States of America. I mean, especially now that you're going to have great schools teaching anti-white experiences, and it's going to start with kindergarten here in New Jersey all the way up to 12th grade. Those of you who don't know about this, and I would assume that most of you do know, and certainly people in the news area are very much aware of this, if you studied the history of communism, and communism now that it's entered our educational system, because they've taken over an awful lot of what's planned there. They've cut down the amount of the size of people that can attend groups together at affairs, churches in the United States. There are less churches now. They've slowly broken. They've achieved one of the great plans, because when communism first entered Russia, as we all know, they tore down the statues, because their premise was that the history of Russia, these were not the best people. And they've done this with five famous vacation areas in South America, which are now out of business because the Communist Party succeeded in destroying those what they do is they slowly close down the communications, and with students. And this is where you, a parent, I think better get worried, because I don't think you want to lose your child, as I predict will happen 12 years from now, that your child that grew up in your family will no longer be part of your life or be interested in spending any time with you. Because you have to understand, if we study communism and not some stupid other series that has nothing to do with really our history, you'll find that slowly the education of anti-Americanism, or anti-Russia, as was took place in Russia, or anti-South American country, slowly each year increases more and more. And the student that started at kindergarten or first grade slowly begins to feel an animosity towards his history. And that begins to affect the student's family. And if you've studied it, I'm sure everyone responsible, interested in what's going on, has done. If you study that, you find that historically they've succeeded in breaking down the family structure as part of the entire structure of culture, which would be destined to happen in the United States if, God forbid, we let this happen. I thought it would be, I've had massive press conferences regarding this, because, of course, today you're not allowed to teach that communism is evil and what have you, since it's poured millions of dollars into many of our investments, and you now have one of the two or three of the most multi-billionaire men in history that are part of the United States that are pouring money into building an anti-American flavor in our society. So we are in great obviously we are in great trouble right now, and I love this country too much. That's why I did the fire engine thing, and we'll do whatever I can. But the public has to. I understand that parents are now protesting in high schools and so forth. Just the recent one about the two teachers that came in the nude and were teaching students information about sex and what have you. And when the parents heard this, the teachers are now fired. But this is what's going on in our society, and I'm sure you've discussed this, Scott, many, many times. This is not new coming from me.
Kristen, it's a very interesting conversation to have. We're just about out of time, so I want to ask you before we go, do you have a good feeling about this Geraldo thing? Because, you know, this is really on my mind today.
Well, I haven't really had a chance to think about it, and I would rather call and see what kind of feedback I get. I think it's a difficult situation. I had a massive other things to talk to you about, predictions coming soon, but maybe we'll do that next month or a couple months from now, because you're busy. I can tell you're busy now with this project. I would have done it, but I had 18 different predictions I was going to make. But listen, I'll look into it and get back to you. I'm not saying that I have an over-optimistic feeling because of the conflict and the fact that I think Fox would come into the picture as well, but and the fact that you're on the same time. But I think it's worth looking into it. I do promise you I will see what I can do, Scott, because I'd like to keep in touch.
Yes, Kriskin, and hopefully we'll have you back very soon to talk about those 18 predictions. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah, take care. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
The legendary, amazing Kriskin. You can't go wrong there. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
Issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.